Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to I Am Resistance in the End Times. my travels now, is how I say it, anti-civilization level abolitionist shit talker. You know, some of you who have listened, all three of you, know that I've studied philosophy and been a philosophy professor and blah, 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 blah. And philosophy is of the mind, especially in the Western tradition. You know, I'm more from the analytic tradition as an American, to believe the European post-structural, you know, some of the phenomenological fascinating stuff. Part of my master's thesis is from a phenomenological perspective, but that's academic stuff. But what you see is when, for me, when you challenge civilization, there's a quick response from the apologists, which is, well, you know, how can we stand up to power, number one? It's just so vast, and you'll get crushed, which, again, that's there's truth to that. The second is what do we have as a special, the problem-solving mentality? What do you have instead? What do you have? Because civilization will just pop back up because it's thought of as some kind of evolutionary progress, well, surviving progress, excellent documentary. You know, also it's called The Short History of Progress, which is based on the book. But this idea that this is the natural order of things, this is the way things are supposed to be, this is, you know, to challenge it is to reform it. But civilization itself is always a good thing. This way of life is goes unquestioned in that sense that, and philosophy, particularly in the Western sense, doesn't really go that far. It pretty much accepts, except for, as Julian points out, Mr. Langer, is the cynics. The cynics, Nietzsche, and some of the post-structuralists that come later, who challenge the whole notion of modernity, which is very much a part of our lives. It's every aspect of our lives, this standardized way of living, this domesticated. So again, coming back to that point is that everybody is always thinking in that psychological sense that, you know, that this is all that there is, that even if we awaken ourselves, that we still are trapped with human nature. That again, we take a dim view of human nature, thanks to perhaps Freud, but I wouldn't just pay him for that, but he's rather deterministic. But we still use Freud, of course, as he should. He's a brilliant thinker. But it's that we're stuck in this toxic psychology, this way of life, this type of consciousness. And in my studies, I led to this deeper question and found a book, you know, Forbidden Dimensions, which I mentioned to talk about, which I can't tell you to read that enough. There's two books, Forbidden Dimension and Darkness Is Not Now. Those books are fascinating, but they also take a real openness that a lot of people can't get to. So what I think is so important about feral consciousness, and I've read some other stuff, Feral Fawn's book, Feral Revolution, just before this, and I've read some other stuff, and this very much comes from an anarchist point of view, which I, of course, completely am on board with, because that's the attack on anarchism, is anarchy means chaos, anarchy means disorder, anarchy means it's just a rape murder fest, which actually we know is the opposite, because civilization is exactly that. The order that it talks about is really its own license to conquer, destroy, domesticate, commit mass murder, strategic rape, whatever it feels like it, and use reason as its ultimate guide, you know, use it as its defense, its shield against the pleas of the suffering. So Julian Langer's book, which I put the picture on there, it's from, I never really heard of this publisher, but it doesn't matter. Little Black Heart, which has so many good works. And this book is like $5, if that, or whatever. Everybody should read it. To me, this goes right to the top of my anti-civilization, anarcho-primitivist inspires me, just as a lot of works do. And it's exactly what we need. And I think that's what's so fascinating is you take some really excellent philosophy and deconstruct our domestication. So to answer those critics, shall we say, your Noam Chomsky's who, when you talk about anarcho-primitivism, he just says it's a recipe for genocide, which again I would flip and say actually the recipes for genocide have been industrial civilization. We've never seen anything like what industrial civilization will do, which is just, you know, the wholesale mass murder of millions and millions of people, hence the 20th century. I mean, it was a bloodbath that is far beyond any biblical proportions. We just have been conditioned to not see it that way for those of us that are so-called alive. And I think what's great about this book is he really, I read it twice. So it's a pretty intense philosophy, which I think is wonderful. And for those of you who have never studied, he gives you an excellent guide. You know, he calls it the first thing is some relevant people and concepts, and he just goes through. When you break it up from Althusser, Derrida, he talks about Pierre Robbins, Diogenes, Baudrillard, Camus, of course, Freud, Heidegger, Heraclitus, Nietzsche, Lacan, Steiner, Wittgenstein, my God, he uses also Thoreau, Wilde, you know, Sartre, Verzan, of course, and Derek Jensen. So he talks about all these different ideas. He's very specifically looking at the domesticated human and how we live through that being so everything is filtered through this symbolic ideology. And that symbolic ideology is what I'm talking about. Symbolic ideology is what I've been talking about in that sense of the domesticated human lives through symbology, the symbols that have been created for us and we create. And he distinguishes between the real, capital R, and then the realities that are constructed for us via language, you know, via this connection. So I've talked about that over the years, how we're created, you know, in this life system to be disconnected, and that disconnection is filled with concepts, and those concepts create greater and greater alienation. How do we get to, and this is why this is so pivotal at this time, is this goes right into those questions that those who take seriously the questions asked by anti-civilization types, Zerzan and Derek Jensen, and it gives them the awakeness to be able to see what's really happening here. To be able to discern the real, what you call natural, authentic, and non-natural. And it's written really, it's so fun to read too. I think you'll find it witty and well put together. And they read a bit to you. So this book describes a way to attain, regain, reclaim what is Dionysian, instinctual, natural, passionate, joyful, authentic, free, using the method that is, how do you say that, is Apollonian, Apollo, rational, unnatural, analytic, language, first that requires a second reading. If you don't like his writing, I don't know what you're looking for, because it's really well done. You know? And he said, while my intention was through language, and your assessment might have been mediated by language too, the experience was direct and real, natural, authentic, and rational. And that's why what he's doing it. He's trying to show us a way back, which is that's why I thought, I was like, wow, he admits through the whole book that really is really, I don't know if we can, you know, and other authors agree too, is the conditioning so deep in a way, can we get to the real, the unmediated? So the point that we often make is that I make is that we're talking about the connected, which is the feral human, as we usually talk about in forbidden dimensions and darkness is not now. It's something we can't even imagine. So we are the domesticated, alienated, constructed human. We are disconnected. So we're disconnected, so that we're conscious. So we think we're individual, but actually we are a collective. We are one. We know it. We can't know that intellectually. We can't know that psychologically, so we're stuck in this realm of fiction as opposed to the real. And so, you know, he has really good popular references too, which I really like. So, but this is so, quote, the lodging though, that a way of life has been constructed that attempts to cut you off from experiences like these, the real. Imagine that the mediation from these experiences is what the essential to this way of life's political structure, production narratives, and production systems. Imagine this way of life has been designed to codify the perceptions of those living within it to its frame of reference. Imagine they created a world of ideology and psychological dynamics of relationships to objects and phenomena, which produced and reproduced over generations and now generations until we reach the present day. Now imagine that this way of life is the way we've lived in. He references just before this the Matrix. And what, no question about it, when we live in this psychological, sociological, ideological world is created for us, creates the illusion of choice, creates the illusion of freedom. So this goes back to those naysayers who say, no, no, civilization is progress, this is what we're supposed to be, this is the promised land, this is what Hobbes taught us, you know, life outside of it is nasty, British and short, this is where we can be free, don't resist it, just play along with it, even though we know what's going on. It's the elephant in the room that even Langer speaks about. You know, it's the fact that this is a rape murder fest of unbelievable proportion. We're disconnected. We don't challenge things. We find this life, you know, this virtual reality through technology, and that technology isn't electronics. The technology is ideology. Higher, you know, that technology. And nobody's talking about how we can, very few who, you know, aren't, I mean, the mystics have it, you know, but everybody frowns on talking about mysticism because you leave language. And so what Julian tries to do is use the language game. Thank you, Wittgenstein. To show the Dionysian connection that we have. It's a huge feat. I think some will say he's done it, some will say he's not. I don't think he's trying to do anything other than what he can. But I think it is amazing, you know. I think we might disagree, but I think we would agree that I see it as a moral battle in a way, but I get what he means in the sense that this isn't some good versus evil. You know, I do see civilization and consciousness like he does in the sense of the cancer. It's something dangerous, harmful, toxic, and it needs to be abolished. How do we do that? We have to do it by that insight, that seeing, that decolonizing, that more, that, you know, serializing by getting to the real. And the real can never be filtered through the ideological. So to me, if you wanted to that sense of distance from the ideological. So what he's really trying to do is, in his essays, a way of approaching this, reclaiming and regaining the Dionysian relationship of what I call a really wild, feral, non-domesticated psychological state. Because I don't claim that this is what is not possible in an absolute sense. Rather, I describe it as encountering relational experiences that these forces strive to cut you off from, so that these relational experiences can be brought back into our awareness and lives, both as individuals and as groups, and including in this discussion, end quote. So we ask, why is this book desirable? He then blasts it out of the park. We live in a world where one of the main focuses of production is escalating narratives of fear, domination, and border-killing devices of the techno-cultural apparatus, where experience is near totalized by mass-produced, fetishized objects of conformity and uniformity. These objects are devoid of flavor and substantial experiential content. Material and systematic complexities require ever-increasing amounts of energy, both human and industrial, that has led to a mass-produced rape culture and sex class caste division, leaving individuals in a state of total conformity, practically devoid of genuine, authentic love. End quote. Bam! Bam! So well said, so powerful in its prose. That's exactly what's happened. To see that. So, because he says, why is this book desirable? To see this and to see it, a possible way through it. Right? You look at the, you know, you got original. I mean, how many thinkers have done this? And in that sense, I don't mean other part, this is fantastic. You know, Eric Fromm and saying, hey, let's look at the, we got to look at the having orientation versus the being orientation. The being orientation is the feral, the domesticated psychology, the primitive psychology that C.G. Brown talks about. That's what we're looking for. So then, when the fall happens, the destruction of civilization, whether it's by resistance, by its own horror and the collapse of it, we don't have to just be the same domesticated humans we do, and then it becomes Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Instead, there can be something that we can't see, and that's the point that so many make, that when we're steeped in the habit orientation, the domesticated cut-off matrix, we can't conceive of anything else other than that. We can't see it. We're not seeing as the mystics, as Fromm, as many others talk about. Not seeing is an epistemology that is the real. It is that, as Julian says, that cynical, iconoclastic, you know, polemical challenge to, you know, like the cynics challenging these, the society, the social roles, like Feral Fawn talks about, you know, in Feral Revolution, this direct challenge to be that, that have the courage to be that pirate, shall we say, being this and being that way. That's the job, if you will. It's not this epic battle. It's more like, you know, they're having that sense of building the blue smoke up our butt. We're slaves, and we know it. That's what he's saying here. At least that's how I'll interpret it. And so he opens up basically the introduction, if you will. He says, I will say this now. This book cannot, in the attempt to encompass or even describe the real, but rather, it's a suggestive route to cultivating a relationship with the real. That is all. I look forward to sharing this journey with you. Now let's crack on. I didn't know that, so the first time I've heard that phrase, I know it's an English, British, it was, and this is, you know, so they were, it was in the Sherlock Holmes movie, where psychology. There's no connection. That disconnection is so powerful. And so we go out and we play consumer, and we, you know, we go through that. We accept the biggest culture. We consume it. We participate in the domination system because we don't have a choice, because we're led, because we're the farm animals. We are the domesticated farm animals, if you will. The livestock. So what he shows in the pages to come is what he calls psychosis, civilization, and ontology. And just, you know, he breaks it into the symbolic, the real, the auto-theological, fascinating stuff. Read it. I'm not going to go into super depth here because it's just, you got to read it and study it. So he says that this essay focuses on how and why we construct our ideological realities. Go into that. You see it. He shows it so well. The civilization produces a way of life based in distracting ourselves from death, our existential condition, through the processes that are horrifying as they deny us our very ability to live. How we learn comes from our social dynamics extending from our childhood learnings into our adult ways of being. Absolutely. And so what we see is that socio-cultural dynamic, and it kind of goes through that in an interesting way. Some of this is pretty philosophical. I'm glad I've read philosophy for a long time and I've studied all these thinkers. But it's not super dense. I think it's very accessible. He's got to spend some time with it. You know, he gets into the, what he calls the key symbolic versus the, he explains it all in the beginning. He talks about the unnatural versus the natural and shows us so much. So what I've done, I read everything twice. He talks about the key symbolic versus the I symbolic, O nihilism versus the S nihilism. It's really fascinating stuff. Spend some time with it. I'm going to talk more about this next week, along with other things. It is an important work. And I think any of us who are trying to see beyond the lies of our technologic civilization, this book